get involved, the more of yourself you get involved, the more that you retain. You only retain 10% of what you hear. And so we want to make sure that we honor God's word on a whole another level than that, man. We want to be so involved. We want God's word to just consume us. And like a sponge, we want to take it all in. So listen, let's go ahead and let's get into this. I'm giving you a heads up. We're about to roll, man. So here we go. I told you what the topic was last week, and here we go. The topic for this, for tonight, is very simple. One word: rage. Rage. Oh my goodness, Pastor, what are you talking about? We're talking about this month for Mental Health Awareness Month. I started it last week. We're talking about this series about managing emotions. And so we talked about that last week, and I'll talk about that here in a second. But the title for tonight is rage. Pastor, I don't sound like a Christian biblical title, man. Just stay with your boy. All right, just stay with your boy. You know, I'm not just going to be out here talking crazy without anything attached to it. So we're talking about this title, this thing, this thought called rage. I know none of y'all believers out there have ever been at that place. Maybe it's only me. So we're talking about rage. And this is the thing I was thinking about as I was preparing. Although this may not be the deepest word that we brought when it comes to our ministry, this may be one of the most consequential messages, quietly one of the most consequential messages that I will have taught, because it's going to be so beneficial and so helpful. This whole series about managing emotions, if some of y'all could just get control of your emotion, you would control your life. Some things are just out of control. Your emotions are out of control, and it's causing so much damage. It's messing up so many relationships. It's blowing so many opportunities. So we've got to deal with, manage our emotions. And I spent last week defining and building the foundation about how God is concerned about, focuses on our emotions as well. We talked about Jesus in the garden, different things like that. And so this may be one of the most consequential messages that I have taught in the years in this ministry. Let me read a few verses to you. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. I'm looking at the Amplified version. Proverbs 14, 29, it says this. It says, he who is slow to anger, look at this, has great understanding and profits from his self-control. But he who is quick-tempered exposes and exalts his foolishness for all to see. Oh my goodness, let me go to the next verse. I really would love to settle down to each one of these scriptures, but I'm going to keep moving because it'll all come together. Proverbs 29, verse number 11, the Amplified says this, a short-sighted fool always loses his temper and displays his anger, but a wise man uses self-control and holds it back. Ouch, ouch, and ouch. Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 28, the Amplified also says, like a city that is broken down and without walls, leaving it unprotected, is a man who has no self-control over his spirit and sets himself up for trouble. You see the theme here about this. We're talking about rage. We're talking about not having control. Listen, let me read this verse right here, and then we'll keep moving on. Proverbs 22, verses 24 to 25. The Amplified says this, don't even associate with a man given to angry outbursts. Or go along with a hot-tempered man. Verse 25, or you will learn his undisciplined ways and get yourself trapped in a situation from which it is hard to escape. It's saying that somebody's out of control anger. They're getting foolish, and rage will rub off on you. If you listen, birds of a feather flock together. The Bible talks about, if you want to be wise, hang around those that are wise. Understand that people are going to influence how you think, how you process, how you respond. There are some people, if you be honest, there are some people that when you're around them, you just seem all kind of, you seem all rowdy. You could be calm any other time, but when you get around some people, you're ready to fight. Now, listen, all these scriptures that I just read, if the truth be told, the Bible can preach itself. The scriptures can preach itself. We could stop right now, but I believe that God wants me to carry this on a little further. This is talking about people being out of control. Talking about like a city that has no defense, that has no walls. It's like the person that's out of control is the same way. A person displaying the anger, how foolish that could be. A person who's quick-tempered, hot-tempered, rage, going out of control. It is so dangerous. And I'm telling you, I'm a content expert when it comes to the topic of rage. I'm a content expert. If I could just tell you about some of my things in the past, man, I would love to get into it right now. But I'm telling you, I'm not a novice when it comes to this topic of rage. Listen, the pastor that you see now is the person. I wasn't rolling that way a while ago, years and years and years ago. I wasn't rolling this way, man. To God be the glory. That's why I'm a content expert. That's why if God can work through me, deal with me, help me make changes, anybody can do it. If God can take somebody as foolish as I was, not that I'm some super wise man now, but as foolish as I was, if God can take this man and calm this man down and teach this man how to manage emotions and how to deal with certain issues, he can do it for you. I'm telling you this. Now, let me just kind of give a quick point about last week. We talked about, we were in this, remember we opened up where Jesus was in the ship in the boat with his disciples, and all of a sudden the wind began to blow and get out of control, and there was a rage. The wind began to get in a rage, and then it caused the water to get all choppy, and the water splashed into the boat. The disciples start panicking, waking up Jesus. Hey, because Jesus was asleep. Jesus was asleep before all this stuff took place. And then once everything got all stirred up, all wound up, they go to Jesus and say, "Hey, don't you even care that we're about to perish?" And Jesus got up and rebuked the wind. So let me share this with you. And remember, I shared the scripture last week, Proverbs 23, verse number 2. The King James Version said this: "He, God, maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Look at this. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." Remember, the goal is still waters. In other words, peace. Water in its natural form, if you were to take water and pour it into a bowl and let it settle down, it would be completely still. So the goal is still waters. The goal is for things to be peaceful. And what I said is, you need to protect your peace at all cost. There is a premium on peace, especially in the days that we are living in right now. You need to protect your peace at all costs. Now, listen to what I'm about to say. Although there's a responsibility to manage our own emotions, and I'll talk about that in a moment, I need you to hear this. If we don't focus on all the various aspects and principles, and excuse me, let me say this. There's a responsibility to protect our peace, to manage our emotions. But if we only focus on various aspects and principles and tools on managing our emotions, and we don't deal with the agitations, we won't be at a place of sustainable peace. You hear what I'm saying? Sustainable peace. Look at what we talked about last week, Proverbs 22, verse number 10, the New King James Version. It says, "Cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease." And it said in the Message translation, it says, "Kick out the troublemakers and things will quiet down." You need a break from bickering and griping. Oh my God, can we just post that in this nation for right now? Oh, Jesus. Remember what Jesus did. Jesus spoke and he rebuked the wind, because the wind was the thing agitating the water. So you gotta deal with the thing that is agitating, stirring up, dealing with your peace. Because listen to this, I need you to hear this. If you don't deal with the agitation, it's like continuously starting fires and then using a fire extinguisher to put them out versus not starting fire. So listen to what I'm saying. So if you don't deal with the agitation, if you don't deal with the starting of the fires, it's similar to starting a fire, getting the fire extinguisher, putting it out, starting a fire, putting it out, starting a fire, versus just not starting the fire. If you're only focused on, let me put myself in check, but then you're not putting the agitators in check. Fire is going to keep popping, and you're trying to put them out. But what you need to do is you need to deal with the thing that is agitating, that is dealing with, that is disrupting your peace. Listen, I told you there are some things, and there are even some people that are agitating. Listen. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I wish I could spend more time on this. Let me just say this. This may help you out. When I was a school administrator years ago, and please don't hear what I'm not saying, like my friend Dr. Will used to say, please don't hear what I'm not saying. Don't take it out of context. Don't add your extras to it. All right. Listen to what I'm saying. I would have parents come to me and they would be like, "Hey, Woods, Mr. Woods, you know, my kid is getting picked on and this and that and all that. And people don't like it. Kids don't like it. Teachers don't like them." And so, listen, my thing is this. I never would overreact. So this is what I would do. When I would get these reports over and over again, maybe about a particular kid, I would begin to observe the kid from a distance. Sometimes I would come in the class and I'd sit in the back of the class, try to come in there nice and quietly so they even know I'm in there. And sometimes what I would see is this. I would see a child constantly involving themselves in everybody's business. Always had something to say. Always had a smart comment to say. This, that, whatever. I would go back to the parent, and this is not every situation. Please, I don't support bullying. Please understand that. But there were times I'll go to the parent. I said, parent, let me just share something with you. I watched your child over the last 7 days, and I watched how often your child involved himself or involved herself in other people's business. Always had something to say. Teacher said something. They always had something to say. Awesome little smart remark. Smart remark. This kid said, some little smart. I saw him in the cafeteria, on the playground, in the classroom. I'm watching your kid. So I said, listen, your child cannot continue to be an agitator. Your child cannot continue to be annoying and then you want to get bothered with the response. And I would tell the parent this. I would say this to a parent. I said, I'm not going to keep putting out the fires that your child starts. Listen, I know I'm being too real. I'm trying to help somebody. You got to deal with the agitators. That's part of protecting your peace. Dealing with the things that's agitating you, robbing, stealing your peace. Now, listen. That's part of it. That's part of it. So you got to deal with the agitators. However, let me now shift to what I'm talking about tonight. We each have an obligation to manage our own emotions. We have to take on the human responsibility to managing our emotions. Because if we don't take on the responsibility, we'll blame others for quote unquote making us mad. See, if you're only focusing externally, you'll say stuff like, he may be mad, she may be mad. Nobody can make you anything. You can have two people in a room, something happens, one person doesn't respond, the other person does. So if somebody could make you mad, then they would make both people mad. Nobody can make you anything. Now, are you giving somebody or something the power? Maybe. That's why it can't just be, well, he's making me mad, she's making me mad, that's making me mad, gas prices are making me mad, prices of eggs are making me mad. Nothing can make you mad. We have to take on the human responsibility of managing ourselves and managing our emotions. In other words, we must take ownership. Because sometimes you cannot remove the agitators. Sometimes you cannot stop what's going on externally. You can't control the price of eggs right now. You cannot control the price of gas right now. So you must take ownership of your own response, of your own emotions. Come on, time to put our big boy pants on and our big girl pants on. Take responsibility. Take ownership of your emotions. So can I show you an example in the scriptures? Like I said, you know, I'm not going to be just out here just saying whatever. Let me show you an example of the scriptures of somebody who went in a rage and did not take responsibility for his actions. And maybe you'll find yourself. Daniel chapter 3. I'm dealing with a king by the name of King Nebuchadnezzar. And let me read all these verses because there's quite a few here. Daniel chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse number 1. I'm going to be reading out of the NLT, the New Living Translation. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 1, said, King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and it's set up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And what he did is, he built this big statue, 90 feet, and then he gathered all the people, made an announcement, hey, I got something to tell y'all. In verse number 5, he said, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. In other words, when you hear the music, bow. King Nebuchadnezzar built this statue to honor himself and said, when you hear the music, bow to the statue. And verse number 6, anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Oh, my goodness. So what happened was, because he was a king, when that music went off, everybody bowed except for 3 people. Now, this is the Jews were captives, and they were captives in Babylon. And so if you really study it out, there were some very jealous Babylonians that noticed three Jews did not bow down. And they used this opportunity to attack these Jews. Look at verse number 12. But there are some Jews, this is what they said to the king, but there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you put in charge of the province of Babylon. I'll talk about that a little later. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up. Verse number 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a what? He flew into a rage. Somebody put rage in the comment section. Come on. He flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego be brought to him, be brought before him. Flew into a rage. In other words, hold on now. I'm the king. I made this statue. It honors me. I said, bow down when you hear the music. And if you don't do what I say, I got a problem with you. So he said, Shadrach, Meshach, he found out that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't bowing down. He said, bring them to me immediately. And when they come before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he says to them, look at here. I'm going to give you one more chance to follow my directions. When this music starts playing, you're going to get a special performance all for you. When this music starts playing, you better bow down. Most people would have caved into that. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were like, nah. Nah. We're not bowing down. We're not bowing down. I want you to see the response of King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse number 19. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. There goes that word again. Do you understand that your body language sends a stronger message than your words? Don't tell me that you're okay with what I say, but your face tells me something different. How do I know if you've matured? How do I know if you matured? Well, your face tells me. How do I know how you really feel? Your face tells me. Your body language tells me. All that kind of stuff. Listen, it said that his face became distorted with rage. You could see the rage. You could see the anger. You could see how furious it was in his body language and in his face. And look what it said he did. He commanded that the furnace be heated seven times hotter than usual, as if regular fire is not hot enough. This dude is so out of control. He's so furious. He's so angry. He says, turn the heat up seven times more. Look at verse number 20. Then he ordered some, look at this, you got to see this, and we'll come back to this a little later. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. Verse 21, so they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. Verse 22, and because the king, in his anger, in his rage, in his fury, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers that threw the three men in. I'll come back to that. Verse 23. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring fire, into the roaring flames. Gets angry, heated up even more, throw them in there. The three people, the men, the strong men that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I was supposed to throw them in the fire. They got killed because the fire was so hot. Now, if I was preaching on faith, and if I were preaching a faith message right now, and all that stuff, I would go into the fourth man, because the king looks in and say, "Hey, I thought we threw three men in, but four men are in the fire." If I were preaching tonight, I would go into that. But I'm on a different assignment tonight. So he sees four men, and the scriptures believe that that was Jesus himself manifested, showed up in the fire, and delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Jump down to verse number 28. Look at the response. He tells them to come on out of the fire. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angels to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except for their own. Verse number 29, therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whether whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. Then there is no other God who can rescue like this. Verse 30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. So what are you saying, Pastor? What does all this mean? What can we learn from this situation? There's two things that I want to take away from here. Man, I wish I really had time to really, really deal with this, slow it down. But I almost top this message tonight in two parts. But we got to deal with something tonight, because next week I got to switch and pivot to another part of this managing emotions. There's two things that we can take away. Number one is this. You better hear this. This first thing you can take away from the story. A temporary burst of anger can lead to long-term irreparable damage. I'm gonna let that settle for a second. I want you to see that. Because if the truth be told, so many of you can identify with what I just said. What the first thing we can learn from what we just saw is a temporary burst of anger can lead to long-term irreparable damage. Oh my goodness. See, King Nebuchadnezzar, he went into this rage and he made some detrimental decisions. And this is the thing. Eventually, King Nebuchadnezzar, he came to repentance. He humbled himself, but not after great loss. This brother left a trail of bodies. See, in the end, it worked out well for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. However, not after damage. See, when some things go down, you got to ask yourself, am I possibly overreacting? Come on, this is for people that like to point the finger at everybody and blame everybody for their issue. You got to ask yourself, am I possibly overreacting? Let me tell you a thing that you can use to measure the weight of the situation. You can ask yourself this thing that I'm tripping about. Will this thing that I'm upset about, will it matter 5 minutes from now? Will it matter 5 months from now? Will it matter 5 years from now? There are some things that you have thrown a tantrum about and you went out of control. You don't even remember the original issue. Listen, there goes the question. Is the way I'm expressing my anger worth ruining a relationship or causing permanent damage? You got to ask yourself that. You got to ask yourself, is the way I'm expressing my anger? Because the Bible doesn't say that you can't get angry. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, be angry. It says, but sin not. So you can be angry and not sin, or you can be angry and sin. The issue is not the anger. The issue is the way that you act when you get angry. Is the way I'm expressing my anger worth ruining a relationship or causing permanent damage? You got to ask yourself that before you start acting a fool. This person that I'm about to go off on, am I okay if they're not part of my life? This job I'm about to mess up, this position, this title that I have, is it worth throwing it away? I need you to hear this. Just because you say sorry and somebody forgives you, it doesn't wipe away the moment or take away the damage. Woo, this is sobering tonight. I know you said you're sorry and I know they forgave you, but it did not remove the moment. and it did not take away the damage. You got to understand that humans are not God. God is the only one that has the ability to take what you did and throw it. The Bible says he throws it behind over his shoulder. He throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. God has that ability. Humans don't quite have that ability. There are some things that people have forgiven you about, but they haven't forgot. They haven't forgot the moment. They haven't forgot how terrified they were when you went off. They still have the damage of what was broken. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. What did King Nebuchadnezzar lose because of his rage? What did he lose because of it? Let's go back to Daniel chapter 3. I want to show you something. A few verses. What did he lose? Daniel chapter 3, verse number 12 and 13 says this. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 12 says this. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember what happened. They played the music, and the three didn't bow. And then the haters came and said, hey, tattletale, there's three people that didn't bow. They went and said, there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. What? Understand this. You see what it said, that these Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not just regular citizens. They were actually in charge of part of the province of Babylon. In other words, they were leaders. So Daniel was willing to lose some of his greatest contributors to his success. He was willing to throw away his help. Do you understand that when you get in a rage, you don't think straight, you don't think clear, and you're willing to hurt what actually helps you? You're pushing away, pushing people away, pushing things away that actually contributes to your success, but you're in such a rage that you just don't care. King Nebuchadnezzar was willing to destroy people that were contributing to his success, but that's what happened when you get in a rage. Jump down to verse number 19. Remember what happened? He commanded, after they told him they weren't going to bow, verse number 19, he commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Okay, then what happened? Verse 20, then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. Jump down to verse number 22. And because the king in his anger, in his rage, in his fury, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the three men in. And then look at verse 23. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. This is the thing. This man just got rid of assets. Didn't it just say in verse 20 that he called the three strongest men in his army? This is your military force. You so mad. It wasn't even like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were fighting. We didn't say that. We know that they weren't fighting because of their response. They didn't say, hey, it's on, homie. You want us to bow? No. They didn't say that. They didn't say, hey, we ain't bowing. But in his, you got to understand that when you get in a rage, I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you a photo at the very end. We're almost done. I'm going to show you a photo at the end. When you get in a rage, you don't think clear. You don't see clear. And you begin to attack everything. You begin to see everything and everybody as an enemy. Oh, I know. I'm like Mr. Rogers. I'm in your neighborhood. I know. You begin to attack and see everybody and everything as an enemy. This dude, this king, lost his assets because he was so furious. His strongest men, man, you're going to need them if you go to war, but you're wasting them on this little silly task. He lost. What was he willing to throw away? He lost. Some of his strongest men, some of his strongest assets, because of all this rage. Fire 7 times hotter. What does that have to do with? Listen, regular fire is enough, bro. I turned it up 7 times higher. And then he loses his assets because as they are trying to carry Shadrach, Meshach to the fire, they get burned up. And then it said that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they fell into the flames. So this is the thing. In his anger, he didn't even hurt those who he was targeting. He ended up hurting himself. His anger is focused at, he's pointed his anger at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He didn't even hurt them, he hurt himself. Understand that when you get in a fury and this rage, you ain't hurting nobody but yourself in the long run. You're the one that's going to lose assets. You're the one that's going to lose valuable people and things. Jesus, Lord God, help us tonight. So I said the first thing that you can learn is a temporary burst of anger can lead to long-term irreparable damage. Here's the second thing that you can learn. This is so important. If you will get a hold of this, this may be something that could change your life. This right here. What's the second thing I can learn? I can learn, Pastor. This right here. You must check the foundation of your anger. This is the second thing that you can learn from this story about King Nebuchadnezzar. You must check the foundation of your anger. And you got to ask your question. You ask yourself this question. Is it legit or foolish? The second thing is this is the second thing that you can learn from this story. You must check the foundation of your anger. In other words, is it legit or foolish? In other words, why am I even angry in the first place? You got to understand the foundation, the core of the meaning behind why you're even upset in the first place. What are you saying, Pastor? This is the thing. King Nebuchadnezzar's anger was based on some silly arrogance. This dude builds a statue and wants people to bow down to it. And when they don't do that, he goes into this rage and starts just going crazy and loses stuff. You really got to check you got to ask yourself, why am I even upset in the first place? Is this really a legit reason to be upset, or is this just pure foolishness? Come on, listen, you got to wrap your head around, you got to wrap your spirit around what I just shared with you. This is something that's going to help you. This is something that's going to help you. You're always trying to legitimize why you are upset. Instead, you need to ask yourself, is this really a legit reason to be upset? Or am I just being silly? Am I just being foolish? Is the root cause of my anger even something legit? Or is it really just based on my quirky ways? Is it just based on my own preferences, how I want things, how I like things? Understand this about your pastor. There are things I'm very specific about, very quirky about. There's certain things I like, certain things that I want a certain way. And yes, it is okay to want things a certain way, but it is not okay to damage relationships over silly, minute things. You have no foundation for it. This is where you got to go, where Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You got to even ask yourself, is this even a God thing or a biblical thing? Or is this just my preference and my desire and my want? Is this a legit reason to even get angry? Or am I just being silly? Am I just being selfish like a little toddler? I just want my own way. Come on now. You got to understand this right here. If your reason for being upset is built on foolishness, your response to the situation will be foolish. It's on your screen. You can read it. If your reason for being upset, throwing this tantrum, is built on foolishness, your response to the situation will be foolish. There are some things you just want it your way, and you actually are basing your life on being selfish. Let me share with you one of my very favorite scriptures that I've used for like 30 years or so to check myself and put myself in check. This is a script, one of my favorite scriptures that I use for me to put me in check. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3 says this: let nothing, no thing, let nothing, nothing, let no thing. And when I've confessed it over myself, when I pray this over myself, when I put myself in check, I've said it just like that: let nothing, let no thing, no thing, not one thing, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let nothing be done through strife. Let nothing be done through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. It says in the New Century Version, when you do things, don't let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than you yourself. Don't let pride be your guide. Don't let selfishness be your guide. Don't let your little quirky ways be your guide. Stop judging people based on what you like. Come on now. Oh, Jesus, I hope this is helping somebody out there. Somebody out there. Because it is helping me. You got to understand that if you build yourself up and exalt yourself up, just like King Nebuchadnezzar's statue. If you build yourself up, you can expect the outcome arrogance produces. If you do things out of arrogance and pride, and that's what being selfish and wanting to have your own way, that's what that is. That's just such an arrogance where you think your way is the only way. Your thoughts are the only thought. That's it. Your preference, the way you think, the way that you want it, that's such an arrogant way of living. Like nobody else's opinion matters. And I'm not talking about biblical scriptural things, because there are things in the scriptures that we don't need to be debating about. If God said it, that's what it is. I'm not talking about what God said. I'm talking about what you keep saying and you keep preaching like God said it. If you arrogantly build yourself up and lift yourself up like that statue, you can expect the outcome that arrogance produces. What is the outcome that arrogance produces, Pastor? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, the Message translation says this: first pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. That's what's coming. Fall, destruction. When you do things out of pride and selfishness. So the two things I said that you can learn, from this story: number one, a temporary burst of anger can lead to long-term irreparable damage. And the second thing that you can learn is you must check the foundation of your anger. Is it even legit, or is it legit, or is foolish? King Nebuchadnezzar was coming from a very foolish place, so he had a foolish response. We cannot be irrational. We cannot be okay with flying off the handle. We cannot give in to or lose control over our emotions. Please understand this, beloved. Everything doesn't require a clap back. Let me say that again. Everything does not require a clap back. Every post does not require you to respond. Everything that somebody says does not require a response. Some things that people say are so foolish, and you got to understand, if they're foolish and you respond foolishly, then both of you all are being foolish. You got to understand that. You got to understand that. Please understand that. Proverbs 19:11-12 says this, the Amplified says this: good sense and discretion make a man slow to anger, and it is his honor and glory to overlook a transgression or an offense without seeking revenge and harboring resentment. That's what King Nebuchadnezzar did. He got offended and he wanted revenge. Even says in verse number 12, the king's wrath terrifies like the roaring of a lion. I wonder how many people are just afraid of you, to be honest with you. I wonder how many people are just not comfortable around you because the way that you respond, the way that you clap back, the way that you just insert yourself, insert your opinion and attack people. I wonder. Oh, my goodness. And let me say this as I'm closing. I'm closing right now. These two verses right here. Let me put this thing on here. That's right, prophetess. Robert, some arguments would end if people just didn't fight over who would get the last word in. Oh my goodness. Some people are so petty. Some people are so small-minded. Like you said, it's not even worth their response. And listen, let me add this on here, beloved. You got to hear this, y'all. Listen to this. Stop saying you can't help yourself. Stop saying that. This is just me. I can't help myself. You are empowered to control yourself. That's what you're talking about. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, the Amplified Classic says this. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and self and discipline and self-control. Either God's lying or you're lying. When you say you can't control yourself, God has given you the ability as a believer to be calm, to have a well-balanced mind, to be disciplined, and have self-control. When you say you can't control yourself, either God is lying or you're lying. My Bible says, let God be the truth and every man a lie. Stop saying you can't control yourself. Yes, you can. It is inside of you. God, when you got born again, God put in you the ability. You just got to cultivate that thing. You got to tap into that thing and stop going into this rage and throwing these tantrums. I want to show you this picture right here. I thought I was going to close with this picture. I'm going to show you this picture and I'm going to close with this verse. Go ahead and put that picture up. I want you to see this. Look at this. You cannot see your reflection in boiling water. Similarly, you cannot see the truth in a state of anger. When the water calms, clarity comes. You're looking at life through a lens of boiling water. You're getting so worked up, so angry, so furious. You're like King Nebuchadnezzar. And you're looking at situations, you're looking at people through this fuming mind and mentality, and you cannot see clear, and you cannot make quality decisions because you're making emotional decisions. You're making irrational, emotional decisions. You can go and take that down. And what is happening is it is hurting people. It is hurting you. It is hurting relationships. This is the verse I close with. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, the Amplified says it this way. He who is slow to anger is better than, and more honorable than the mighty soldier. And he who rules and controls his own spirit than he who captures a city. It is saying that that self-controlled person is stronger than a mighty soldier. This is the thing. You can't keep prioritizing winning the battles without while losing the battles within. I ain't taking that. You win in every argument externally, but you're losing the battle within because you're not managing your own emotions. You're trying to control everybody. Kind of trying to control the situation, but you're not controlling yourself. And the reality is you're making a bad situation worse, if the truth be told. I told you I was a content expert, man. I really was preaching this to myself. I'm telling you, if I had time, I would tell you some stories. My goodness. I would tell you some stories from my past. And although I'm not perfect, I'm Lord God Almighty. God has had mercy. God has worked on me. The Bible said that Jesus is our sanctification. The Lord has sanctified me and just working on me and worked on me in so many different ways to the extent that most of you have never seen. Matter of fact, no one has ever seen the extent of the rage that I used to show. Oh, Jesus, Lord God Almighty, to God be the glory. Listen, before we get off, if you're watching right now, and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you don't have the capacity to even walk out what the scriptures are saying. Without being born again, you don't have the capacity. You don't have that backing of the Spirit of God to help you control these things. Now, of course, that's not the only reason why we get born again. We get born again so that we be made righteous and stay in relationship with the Lord and be able to spend eternity with God and not end up in hell or the lake of fire. So if you don't know Jesus, give your heart to Jesus tonight without delay. Or maybe you say, listen, I am born again, and preacher, pastor, I gotta admit I have drifted. You're talking about anger, man. I That's the least of my concern. I got so many things going on. I've drifted away. Well, the one thing I love about God, see, we hold stuff against each other. We get an attitude. We won't forgive people. We won't forget it. God is not that way. God is a forgiving, loving, caring God. And it amazes me so much when I think about the fact that he'll take you and your mess and your sins that are like crimson and wash it all away and love you and welcome you back. So if you want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, time to do that. So if you want to give your heart to Jesus, if you want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Say, dear God in heaven, I need salvation. Jesus, come into my life and live big. I believe what the Bible said, that God sent you to die on the cross for my sins. 3 days later, he raised you from the dead. And because of that, I'm saved. And I make you the Lord of my life. I'm saved now, and I'm forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. To God be the glory. I believe that somebody just gave their heart to Jesus Christ. I believe that somebody just rededicated their life to Jesus Christ in this moment. And we are going to see each other one day in eternity. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Listen, I love you all. I'm so grateful that you were on tonight. I pray that it helped you. Some of y'all may need to go back and just rewatch this. We'll be talking next week. I'm going to get into this some more when I talk about managing emotions. We're going to be dealing with some things. God has given us some tools and some equipment to help us stand our ground and to withstand the onslaught and the attack of the enemy. I'm excited about it. I love you all. I'll see y'all soon. Peace.